This year is the 150th anniversary of professional baseball, dating back to the launch of the Cincinnati Red Stockings in 1869. As today's major league teams battle for a spot in the playoffs, vintage baseball teams across the U.S. like to celebrate the game as it was played in its formative years. I'm Jesse King reporting for WAMC, with a glimpse at a doubleheader between the Fleischmann's Mountain Athletic Club and the Brooklyn Atlantics.
We're going to get started, folks. Be aware of all above. You guys are all in play right here, so we'll try to be careful about, you know, being around you, but be alive. This is a live game.
Mountain Athletic Club Captain Colin Miller directs fans via megaphone as they park folding chairs along the edge of a field. The original Mountain Athletic Club, or MAC, was founded in 1895 in Griffin's Corners, New York. But today's edition is in Grahamsville, in Sullivan County. Aside from the bases, a pitcher's box, and a makeshift hay backstop, the field is bare. Miller, a professional forester, introduces himself as Stumpy before the bat toss, while his competitor, English teacher, and Atlantic's captain Frank Van Zant, goes by Shakespeare.
You just have to be very careful not to do something extremely stupid on the field, because that's what your nickname's going to be based on. We had a fellow named Crawler on his first day on the field. He crawled to second base, and he was kind of a night crawler also, so it was apt, but it was kind of based on a stupid thing that he did on the field.
Van Zant says the original Atlantic Baseball Club was founded in 1855. Back then, baseball wasn't yet a compound word, and the Atlantic's Don White shirts have ABBC stitched across the front. They play by the rules of 1864, one of 2 years the Atlantic's went undefeated as national champions. Van Zant says, depending on who you ask, the club was a precursor to the Brooklyn Dodgers and missed a chance to become one of the first professional teams in 1871.
Professionalism was very controversial, the same way that professionalism is controversial for college athletes today. Should we pay them? Should we not pay them? A year later, they tried to recoup that, and they did become professional, but they didn't have the players to justify it, and they were a very poor professional team for a period of time until they sort of fell out of practice.
Today, the Atlantics are in full form for Game 1. By 1864 rules, all pitches or hurls are underhand, and the batter or striker is out if the ball is caught on the fly or on the first bounce. That could be because there are no gloves. Players catch the ball with their bare hands, sometimes at their peril. Daisy cutters, now known as grounders, are common. Fouls don't count as strikes, and three balls make a walk. Umpire Jeff Fry stands to the side of the striker, dressed in a shirt vest and a top hat, while calling pitches as he pleases.
When I feel the pitcher's thrown too many balls, I give a warning to the pitcher that lets him know anything he throws that I feel is a ball. After that, I'm going to call a ball. Same thing with the batter. If the pitcher's throwing strikes, the batter's just standing there, I give a warning to the striker, which means any pitch that comes in after that that I feel is a strike, I'm going to call a strike.
Fire him in there. She's recording.
Van Zant says hurlers no longer had to throw underhand in the 1880s, and clubs like the Providence Grays made overhand pitching the norm. The Max Archie Byruk says fielders were wearing gloves by 1895, although they had little padding and no webbing. Byruk's been playing vintage baseball for about 20 years, goes by Lumberman with his teammates, and usually makes a new bat before each game at his sawmill.
For the era we play today, we're only allowed 2.5-inch barrel. It's got to be over an inch on the handle. And then the second game we played, you can go up to 2.75. Still no less than an inch. It could be 42 inches long, which nobody could ever swing.
Cut four! Hits are louder in Game 2, which uses the Max 1895 rules and a livelier ball. Catches on the first bounce no longer result in outs, but foul balls hit off a bunt or caught by the catcher are strikes. Atlantic's co-captain Dean Emma, a.k.a. Dream Bucket, explains the Red Stockings won 81 straight games when they first started paying stars, before, he notes, falling to the Atlantics 8-7 in an 11-inning game in 1870.
The finest game ever played. That was how it was written by the journalists.
Tag. Go, it's bouncing, go!
Yeah, so before 1869, they were getting paid underneath the table. And, you know, gamblers would be like, I'll give you $100 if you guys beat this team. That was pretty well known.
As Van Zant explained, the Atlantics initially passed on professionalism, but the MAC became a semi-pro team. Miller says owners Julius and Max Fleischmann's eventually got involved with the Cincinnati Reds and used the MAC as a spring training for Reds players. Miller says the MAC bankrolled five of the Chicago White Sox hitless wonders in 1906, as well as Hall of Famers Honus Wagner and Miller Huggins.
Miller Huggins actually played under a the name Proctor. At the time, he was an NCAA athlete, and he was afraid he would lose his scholarship money if he got paid to play by the Fleischmann, so he played under the name Proctor.
The MAC continued in Griffin's Corners until 1913, when the village changed its name to Fleischmann's. Now, today is a golden era to be a baseball fan. You can watch games in HD on your smartphone and follow box scores in real time, with Major League Baseball now a billion-dollar industry. So why play vintage baseball? Van Zandt says there are hundreds of teams across the country, and the Atlantics play over 40 games a season. Fan Vivian Ginsburg says she wouldn't miss it.
They're like baseball reenactors.
Whoa, heads up! Oh, save that ball. It's a $12 ball.
Players like Van Zandt and Miller say it's about keeping baseball history alive. Like their original counterparts, today's vintage baseball teams get people outside and having fun.
It's very hard to get a sore attitude when you're on the field. It's really enjoyable.
Yeah, I liken it to sort of like a baseball subculture. I would say a fraternity, but we actually have co-ed.
Three cheers for the Atlantic! Hip hip, hurrah! Hip hip, hurrah! Hip hip, hurrah!
The Atlantics are one of the MAC's toughest outs. By the end of this day, the ABBC have swept the bill, taking Game 1 16-9 and Game 2 20-7 in 7 innings. The Mountain Athletic Club still calls its original park in Fleischmann's home. The Brooklyn Atlantics play their home games on Long Island at the Smithtown Historical Society. All you need to attend is a temporary trip back in time. Reporting from Grahamsville, I'm Jesse King.